Okay? So, cartels? You can't try to run them out of them. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Jaya Radhum Madhuma Kunja Vihave Kunja Vihave
Hare 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 Hare
Vaishnava Vrindika Jaya Namacharya Shri Ridas Thakur Kshaya. Ramt Sei Gaho Shivashna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shigwaita Gadaha Shivasti Go Bhakta Brindijaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopurupa Sayam Kun Radha Kunda Giri Gopuran Kijaya Vrindavan Kijaya Maturam Kijaya Navaditam Kijaya Jagadakasami Kijaya Yamunamai Kijaya Shrimati Gulasi Devi Kijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur. So we'd like to welcome everybody here to New Dalji Dham. That means the abode of Dalji. Dalji, of course, means the brother, older brother. He's not my older brother, but he's a servant. He's a servant of Balaram, who's an older brother to Krishna. So therefore, Dalji. So Dalji is very famous. So, tonight, we'd like to speak a little bit about the festival that occurred yesterday. Yesterday, of course, was the celebration of the appearance of Srimati Radharani. So, of course, I think most of you have heard of Radharani. Radhe, 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 Radhe. So, we're going to speak a little bit about her position. So, let's start with talking a little philosophy. So, we all know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hopefully everybody knows that. And Krishna has many incarnations. There's what's called the Dasha Avatars. Rama, Nrsimha, Varaha, Kurma, Balaram, Haladar, Rupa. There's so many incarnations, 10 main incarnations. And all these different incarnations, they're all Krishna. That may come as a surprise to all of you. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the incarnations of Krishna. At the end of the list of incarnations, it says, Ete Chansa Kalat Pumsa. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. That means Krishna's the original and all the other incarnations are expansions of Krishna. But they're all the same person. Advaita Chuta Nadir Ananta Rupam Adyam Purava Purusham Naviyohanam Cha. There's all only one God. We're not polytheists. Some people don't understand Hinduism. They say Hinduism is polytheistic. Polytheistic means many gods. But we are monotheistic. There's one God, but he appears in various places in different ways. Just like you and I, and all of us, have different manifestations of our personalities. Some of you work. And when you go to work, you look a certain way. When you're home, you look a different way. When you're on vacation, you go a different way. When you play rugby, you look even differently. Or cricket, or whatever game you have to play. So everybody has a different vesh, or different dress in different situations. So Krishna does the same thing. But Krishna's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whoops, someone's mobile phone. Sadhguru. Sadhguru means the six-arm form of the Lord. You only have two today. So, Krishna has all these interesting expansions. They're all on the same level. They're all the same person. So, along with Krishna, we have Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani is the original potency of Krishna. The name in Sanskrit, of course, is Adi Shakti. Adi Shakti is the original potency of the Lord. And from her come all the other expansions, like the Lakshmis, the wives of Krishna in Dwarka. Of course, Krishna had 16,108 wives, a lot of wives, isn't it? He maintained them all because he was God. Each and every one had a separate house. And each and every one had 10 children. So if you can do that, you can have 16,108 wives. But we all have to have separate houses. You also have to lift Govardhan Hill and do a lot of other interesting things. But otherwise, be like Lord Ram, Ekapatni Brata. Lord Ram just had one wife, one arrow, and one word. So we should be like Lord Ram. So anyway, so Radharani is the original personality, servant of the Supreme Personality, got an original Shakti. So not only do all the Lakshmis and Sita and all the Shaktis expand from Radharani, but also just like Krishna has an expansion in the material world that deals with the destruction of the material world, and that expansion is called Shiva. Shiva appears in this world as the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Krishna, as in his expansion as Mahavishnu, there are many expansions, looks at the material world, then he impregnates the material world with all of us. There's another mobile phone. Okay, thank you. So he impregnates the material world with us, and that impregnation, that glance, is known as Shambhu. That's why we worship the Shiva Linga, the Yoni and the Shiva Linga, the Linga. Because he is our father too. Lord Shiva is our father, and Durga is our mother. So in the same way that Durga, or that Shiva expands from Krishna, Durga expands from the Lakshmis. But Durga's business is different than the business of Srimati Radharani and the Lakshmis. Because the Lakshmis and the, of course, the original Adi Lakshmi, Adi Shakti, Srimati Radharani, they're all part of Krishna's Ladini Shakti. Ladini Shakti means pleasure potency. So that's real pleasure. They give us pleasure because we're serving Krishna. When we serve Krishna, that's the pleasure we experience. The pleasure of bhakti. What does bhakti mean? It means unalloyed love, devotion, service, all those things sort of rolled into one. And as the Bhagavatam states, Yatma Sutra says, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma Yato Bhakti Hoksaje. If we want to be satisfied, if we want to be happy, we have to engage in loving exchanges with Krishna. And so, all these loving exchanges are under the jurisdiction of Srimati Radharani and her expansions. So when the spiritual potency, the Ladini potency expands into this world, it becomes the opposite, becomes the source of pain. And just like the name Durga, and we do worship and respect Durga because she is Vaishnavi, but she is the warden of this prison house in the material world. The name Durga means to move with great difficulty. So there's the apparent, let's say, illusion, or the illusion of pleasure in this world. But as the Bhagavad Gita states, the happiness in this world appears to be like nectar in the beginning, and then is the end like poison. And spiritual happiness, sometimes it's difficult to engage in spiritual life, so we think it's like poison, but then at the end, it's like nectar. So we are interested in the Ladini Shakti, the internal potency of the Lord, Srimati Radharani and her various expansions. So, she is also considered the best devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so then we want to explain why she's considered the best devotee, Srimati Radharani, the best devotee of the Lord. All other devotees of the Lord, even though they're all pure and spiritual and everything like that, they're serving Krishna or serving Ram according to Varnashram. In other words, they all have their particular sociological or social status in society. Let's take, for example, the wives of Krishna and Dwarka. They're all serving Krishna as proper wives. Proper wives means they listen to their husbands. That's like all you ladies, you listen to your husbands. Right? Whatever he says, you listen. When they say, be quiet, be quiet. So, that's part of our national culture, right? Of course, it doesn't work very well in the modern day and age. So, in other words, they are fitting within what Krishna describes in the Gita, Chaturvarna Mayashrastha, Gunakarma Vibhagasha. There's a place for everyone in society, you know, joking aside. And of course that means Brahman, Kshatriyas, Vaishya, Shudras. Let's take the Bhagavad Gita for example. Arjuna was serving Krishna within his varna, within his caste, right? Even when he desired to leave the duties of his caste, or his varna, Krishna said, stick within the Kshatriya Dharma. He didn't allow him to break that particular Dharma. But in the case of Srimati Radharani and the gopis, that's why we consider them the topmost devotees, they broke that Dharma in order to be with Krishna. So when Krishna played his flute, the gopis and Srimati Radharani, headed up by Srimati Radharani, left their husbands in the middle of the night. Can you imagine, let's take that in your own life, let's say you gentlemen who are married, that if your wife heard some flute in the middle of the night and ran out into the woods to be with another man, what would you think about that? You'd say, thank God she's gone? No. No, I don't think you'd say that. You'd be pretty upset. So I'm just trying to imagine how adharmic that is in the Vedic conception. So the gopis left, not only left their husbands, but they left their children too. Little babies who were hungry. They just put them down. Goodbye. And that is completely against ordinary dharma, isn't it? Then they went to the forest, Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they went to the forest to be with Krishna. And Krishna told them, go back home. And they said no. Opposite of the Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita we have Krishna telling Arjuna, you know, just sarvadharma, spirichajam, amikam, sharanam, brajat. And Arjuna says, yes sir, at the end. I will do it. So the gopis relinquished their position within respectable society. That's the point I'm making. Because if you think about the culture that most of you were brought up in, that if someone loses their reputation, it's the worst possible thing. Krishna, of course, says that to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, one who's been honored, dishonor is worse than death. And I see that people are very much concerned, particularly in Indian society, is very much concerned about reputation, what will people think. That's why everyone wants to send their child to become a doctor or a lawyer or what else? Something prominent. If God forbid their child would become a taxi cab driver or drive a bus or Uber. Can you imagine yourself? What does your son do? Well, he's an Uber driver. And you probably say, you know, he's gone on pilgrimage. Actually, that's what happened to me. That I joined the Hare Krishna movement, and they asked my mother, "Where's your son gone?" They said, "Well, he's gone to the Holy Land." She didn't want to tell him. So in other words, I'm giving the scenario in, let's say, Indian society or an ashram society, how what people think of you is very, very important. Yet the gopis renounced that, all respectability, which is extremely important, in order to be with Krishna. They even disobeyed Krishna's instructions to be with Krishna. That's intense. No other devotee ever did that, disobeying Krishna's instructions. And I'll contrast that with some other devotees who were also attracted to Krishna in the conjugal rasa. There were, this is another story in the 10th canto. Once upon a time, Krishna and the coward boys were very hungry. And there was a group of Brahmins doing a sacrifice nearby. So Krishna sent the coward boys to beg some food from the Brahmins for the sacrifice. And he said, ask for the food in the name of Balaram. Because Balaram was known as a Kshatriya, Krishna was known as a Vaishya, and generally you want to serve a Kshatriya before you serve a Vaishya. So they went. And basically the Brahmanas ignored the coward boys. They just made believe they weren't there. Then Krishna said to them, ask the wives of the Brahmanas, and they will do it. So they went to the wives of the Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas' wives immediately grabbed the food without even saying goodbye to their husbands. And they brought all the food to Krishna. And they said to Krishna, we want to stay with you. And Krishna said, go back home, and said, okay. One of the reasons they didn't want to go back home, they did go back home. One of the reasons they didn't want to go back home, they were afraid their husbands would get angry with them. That's a problem. And so Krishna assured them that I dwelling in the hearts of your husbands will make your husbands nice to you. And their husbands later on realized that their wives were better devotees than them. But the point I'm making is that they stayed within the Varnashram culture. They stayed within respectability. They didn't renounce everything. Whereas the gopis of Vrindavan, specifically Srimati Radharani, renounced everything to be with Krishna. So that is the topmost position. And her very essence is in giving Krishna pleasure. And in order to give Krishna pleasure, she sometimes gets angry with Krishna. Now you may say, how does that give someone pleasure to get angry with them? Normally, like I said, if you're married, your wife is not going to say, I'm going to give you pleasure and I'm going to get angry with you. I don't think that's pleasurable, is it? Any of you men, is it pleasurable to have your wife angry with you? Yes? No? Yes? Nishin and others saying yes. Okay. I think Ashur is watching us, you know, reply. So, no, it's not. But Krishna, he likes to enjoy, as we say, Krishna's Rasa Raj. Rasa Raj means he's the king of Ras. Now, Ras means taste. Just like everyone likes to have tasty food, tasty prasadam, right? One time they were giving Prabhupada prasadam that was just boiled without any taste. And what was Prabhupada's response? Let the starvation committee go to hell. So he's almost cursing the people who are cooking for him. Because they were trying to help Prabhupada be healthy, have a healthy diet. You know, sometimes the word healthy means very bad taste. If someone says, there's healthy food for you today. Okay. So they were giving Prabhupada food without any taste. And Prabhupada said, let the starvation committee go to hell. So the point is, we all like to have different tastes in our food. When you take prasad, you have things that are hot, you know, chili pepper, you know, garam masala. You have things that are bitter, bitter melon, karela, right? Everyone likes karela. Bitter melon. It's healthy for you, actually. It gets rid of so many diseases. You like things that are sweet. Kheer. You like a sweet, sour, bitter. All these different tastes are there. So Krishna, being Rasa Raj, likes to have a lot of different tastes. Not only in his food, but he likes to have taste in his relationships. Now there's five basic relationships that people have in the spiritual world with Krishna. There's the Shanta Ras, Dasa Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, Madhurya Ras. I'll explain what that means. There's the peaceful relationship where someone just appreciates Krishna. There's the servitude relationship where someone just serves Krishna. There's the friendship where you become Krishna's buddy. There's the vatsalya, the parental relationship, like you showed in Mahi. And then finally, there's the conjugal relationship, like Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So you got these five. But these five need to be mixed with something else to make them more tasty. Because, let's say you have a conjugal relationship. Let's say you're married. Again, I'm talking about being married to someone. Good talk for a sannyasi. Anyway, so. But let's say every day you go home and it's the same thing to eat. And your wife is wearing the same clothes. She says the same thing. It's boring. Like, if any of you have ever watched any Bollywood movies, it's not that. They don't have a Bollywood movie with some man at home who gets rotis every day and he's very happy. And the children grow up and they become doctors and lawyers and everything like that. It's not like that, because those are boring movies. That's a boring life, right? Where everything goes well, everybody says the same thing. So Krishna likes to have a lot of different spices in his relationship. So there's seven different spices that Krishna adds to his relationships. And I'm not talking about chili or anything like that. I'm talking about what's called indirect rasas. There's the direct rasa, which is the main relationship. Let's say someone's a friend of Krishna. Let's say someone's a lover of Krishna, conjugal love. Or let's say someone's a lover of Krishna. There's indirect relationship too. And those are things like adbhuta, which means shock. There's ghastliness. That means, like when Krishna kills a demon, it's pretty ghastly. Killed Putana, she was pretty ghastly. Trinavarta, so many demons Krishna killed. There's humor. Krishna is very funny sometimes. I mean, who would think that God would be funny, have a sense of humor? In most other cultures, they depict God as someone who's either very angry or just boring. You know, God just sits there on a big throne. You know, the Christian culture, they think God is just sitting there judging them. All God's business is to serve us, according to them. Right? He sits on a throne. You've been naughty. You've been nice. You've been naughty. Go to hell. Go to heaven. Go to hell. Hell, hell, hell. Like that. And that's what they think about God. He has no independent life. It's just his life is dependent on us. But they don't understand. So we understand that God has an independent life. So he likes to enjoy anger. He likes to enjoy humor, ghastliness, chivalry, all these different spices that spice up this relationship. So Srimati Radharani, getting back to the point, provides all these spices for Krishna. And one in particular is what's called her man. Or anger. You've heard of that before? Krishna wants her to get angry because he enjoys that loving exchange. And I'll tell one or two stories about this. I mean, of course, we've been speaking about this for the last few days. Once upon a time, Krishna wanted to get Radharani angry. And so in order to get her angry, he had to mention the name of her competitor, whose name in the spiritual world is Chandravali. So Radharani has a so-called... Actually, she has no competitor, but these devotees act as competitors to bring out the spice of the relationship. Another point I want to mention about Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world, Radha and Krishna are always 16 years old, 15 to 16 years old. So they're young. And when you're young, you enjoy different playful things and teasing and all sorts of things like that. And when you get old, you're just happy you're alive. You know, people ask me all the time, how are you doing? I said, I'm alive. But, you know, young, it's fun. You tease sometimes, you play, you joke, you do all sorts of interesting things, isn't it? Some of you are young, Ramesh. right? Nagesh, Ganesh, yeah. They like that, they have fun. When you get older, the fun's over. So, and you gotta get married, get to work, have children of your own, headaches, no fun. Krishna is always 16. Even when he was in the battle of Kurukshetra, he didn't look like an old man with a beard. He was 16 and he looked as fresh as he did when he left Vrindavan. So, anyway, getting back to that whole story, that, so once upon a time, or many times, Krishna wanted to get Radharani angry to enjoy this man, this anger. So what he did is he said to her, your face looks like many moons. Of course, that's a compliment if you say to a lady, your face is like the moon. Somehow or other. Even though the moon has spots on it, but whatever. So, of course, Radharani said that to Krishna one time. He said, your face is like the moon, and she said, that's an insult, because the moon has spots. So, but another time, Krishna said, your face is like many moons, which the name for many moons in Sanskrit is Chandravali. That means many moons. So your face, he said, your face is like my other girlfriend. Try that at home, too. See how it works, you know. So your face is like the girlfriend I had before I got married to you, you know. It's really very disturbing. So, she gets very disturbed, and as a result, she just marches away in anger. That's her mom. And she goes into this temple of Durga. This temple is called Gauri Kund Temple. Anyway, she goes to the temple, and Krishna thinks, now I have to make up with her. So Krishna enjoys making up with his girlfriend, Srimati Radharani. And in this particular case, he decides to get back to her, with her, by being very tricky. Because Srimati Radharani has associates who stand guard and don't let Krishna come near her when she's angry with him. In fact, she has associates like Lalita Devi who hold sticks and attempt to beat Krishna if he comes near. We mentioned this the other day, some of you were with me the other day, but in Vrindavan they have this type of holy called Latmar holy. You've heard of this before? That's when the women beat the men with sticks. In honor of this. So I had the interesting experience of being there during that. I didn't know it was Latmar holy day. I went to a place called Barshana, where they actually celebrate Latmar Holi. I just thought I would honor Srimati Radharani. I step out of the car, and like 50 women look at me. And they say, here he is, there he is. And then, it was quite an embarrassing experience. I mean, I was covered with colors, I was beaten. Not hard, I mean, they do it playfully. And so that's called Latmar Holi. So you should all celebrate Holi like that. They have all the ladies. Yeah, next year, do that. You know, just have the ladies get the sticks. Lock them together and just beat the men. It's just one day. They have several days of Holi in Raj. That's just one of the days. Actually, another day the men beat the women. So, I'm talking about that. That's in Barshana. See, they switch. One day the women beat the men in Barshana, then they go to Nandagram where the other thing happens, where the men beat the women, so they go back and forth. It's really a very interesting, playful time. So, in other words, some of the gopis stand with sticks to keep Krishna away, and Lalita Devi, who is very hot-tempered, she says to Radharani, don't you ever talk to that blackish boy again. And so she's standing there. So what Krishna does is he dresses up as a woman. He takes the jewelry from the deities. Because he needs some jewelry. He takes Durga Devi's clothes and he dresses up as a nice lady. And Of course, a perverted reflection of that now you experience in the Western world, where you have nightclubs where men dress up as women. That's a perverted reflection. I'm not going to use the word drag, but that's what they call it. So Krishna dresses up as a lady, and then he goes into this place, this temple, this one, and he's introduced as another lady. And he and Radharani make friends, and Radharani embraces. Then she realizes it's Krishna. And by that time, her mom, her anger has gone down, so she's all right. No problem. No problem. So Radha and Krishna are together, which is very nice. But then, even to further spice up the relationship, there's other devotees of Krishna who act as Radharani's mother-in-law and sister-in-law. That's Jatila and Kutila. Some of you may recognize that name, those names. And there's another devotee who acts as Radharani's so-called husband, whose name is Abhimanyu. Not the one on the Mahabharata. That's a different Abhimanyu. Just not, so you don't get confused. And so they're all play-acting. Remember, they're all like 16 years old in that same mood and playing this role. But when they play these different roles, they are really absorbed in the role. If any of you have ever studied acting, I did when I was in the university, in addition to engineering. So I'm not an actor. So, don't worry. I studied electrical engineering. I'm bona fide. So, but one of the courses I took was in acting. There's this method when you act, you really get into your role and you forget who you are in the real world. So that this is what Krishna and the gopis are doing. Krishna forgets that he's God. And you may think, why? And the answer is so he can have fun. Like if you're in a high position, let's say you're the prime minister of Australia, if you want to have fun with your family, you've got to forget that you're the prime minister. Like if your wife addresses you, Mr. Prime Minister, that ruins the relationship. So you have to, so Krishna forgets that he's God. He wants to forget. Because in Vrindavan, he's always on vacation. That's God. Because if someone wasn't God, if you're not God, you have to work. And if you are God, you can be on vacation 24/7. So Krishna's always in Vrindavan. Galoka Ibnivashati Akilagma Bhuta. He never leaves Vrindavan. So anyway, all these devotees, they're playing, acting these things and enjoying and into their different roles. So getting back to the point. So there's other devotees who act like Radharani's mother-in-law, sister-in-law, and husband. And so they are trying to, they're suspicious that Radharani is with Krishna. You know, it's just like, someone is with my wife, another man is with my wife. We have to find, let's hire a detective. So anyway, they do that in the Western world, isn't it? That's what they advertise. We'll find out what your wife and husband are doing. So they're interested. And then they go by this Gaurikund temple. And they see signs that Krishna's there and Radharani is there. What are the signs? They see Radharani's pet. Radharani has a pet elephant, pet other things like that, a pet monkey. And Krishna has pet peacocks, and they think, we're going to catch them both together. So they enter into this temple, this Gaurikund temple, and Krishna and Radharani together. But remember, Krishna is still dressed as a woman. Keep that in mind. So they enter into the temple, Radharani sees them and thinks, oh my God, I got caught. And she loses her consciousness. She falls to the ground, flat on the ground. But Krishna keeps his cool. He understands that he's dressed. And so they come into the temple, and they don't see Krishna. They see someone who they think is Durga, who had come out of the deity. In other words, Durga left the deity form, and now Durga's right in the middle of the room. And then they see Radharani offering dandavats. Do you understand? Because she's flat on the ground. She's fainted. So she's offering. She's offering dandavats to Krishna, who is, they think is Durga. And they think, oh, Durga. And they offer obeisances to Krishna. They're trying to catch Radharani doing the wrong thing, but they're offering obeisances to Durga. Who is actually acting as Durga. And so then Krishna understands the situation and he begins to speak as if he were the deity. He says, you rascals, you're going to die. Abhimanyu, you're going to die because you mistrusted Radharani. And so they're getting all nervous because this is Durga speaking, who's actually Krishna. Can you imagine, like, the deity starts to say, you know, Krishna, or the deities of the, you know, let's say if you have a Durga deity on your altar, comes off and says, you're going to die. And so they're starting to shake. Oh my God. Because you've offended Radharani. And they're shaking. They said, please, forgive us. And Krishna, as the deity, says, no. You're going to die. And so they're getting nervous. There's finally, Radharani comes to consciousness, and she understands the trick Krishna is playing. And she gets down on her hands and knees and says to Krishna, who's acting like Durga, please forgive my husband. And Krishna, she's begging, and you know, it's all fun pastime, enjoying these different rasas, these different tastes. And she's saying that, and then Krishna, as Durga, says, all right, I forgive this one time, but they should never distrust you again. And they say, no, we'll never distrust her again. Never again. They walk out, and then Radha and Krishna are together. So these are various pastimes. So, I mean, I'll tell one other pastime I didn't tell the other day, that sometimes this Jatila, Kutila, you know, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, Radharani, they try to interfere even further in the relationship between Radha and Krishna. And this is also their play. They say to Radharani, we're not going to let you go out, because when you go out, you may end up in trouble and meet with that Krishna guy. And so she's locked in her house, and Krishna wants to meet with her. So he instructs his friend Subal. Subal is a coward boy. And Subal looks a lot like Radharani in a male form. He has the same complexion and everything like that. So he instructs Subal that you go into the house of Radharani and say that you're looking for a calf. You lost your calf. He's a coward boy, so he takes care of calves. So say you've lost your calf. So you go into the house looking for your calf. And they'll let you in because nobody suspects Subal. Nobody trusts Krishna. But everybody else they trust. Krishna's quite tricky. Like, he promised not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, yet he broke his promise. So you can't really trust what he's going to do. It's quite an interesting personality. It's quite lovable. That's why we also say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Krishna actually acts like God, because he doesn't have to follow the rules. All the other incarnations of God, they follow the rules. Like you have Lord Ram. He's Maryada Purushottam. He follows all the rules, doesn't he? You know, one wife, one arrow, one word. And he's just like, whew. He's a good example. Krishna is a horrible example. Right? You don't want to follow Krishna's example. You don't want to steal butter. You don't want to pinch babies. You don't want to don't want to run around with other people's wives in the middle of the night. Of course, in one sense, they're all Krishna's wives, because everything belongs to Krishna. So anyone who thinks that their wife or husband belongs to them, that's wrong. Because Ishavasamidam sarvam yatkam jajajam jagat tena chaktena bunjada magyata kriha kashisvidanam. Everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna's just lending us things. The body, that our body doesn't belong to us. Krishna's lending it, our ability. Krishna says in the Gita, the ability in man, the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent. So, yes, it's all Krishna's. Everything's Krishna. So, in other words, the gopis are not really other people's wives. Radharani is not other anyone else's wife. All is Krishna. So he's not really breaking any rules. But externally, it may appear like that, that he's breaking some rules. So we don't follow Krishna's example. We follow the example of Lord Ram. Be like Lord Ram. And we were mentioning before today that many husbands want their wives to be like Sita, but they're not like Ram. Isn't it? They say, you should be like Sita Devi. And then the wife says, and you should be like Ram. But they're more like Ram. Getting back to this story that we were just telling. So, Krishna wants to see Radharani, so he instructs Subala, you go in looking for a calf into Radharani's house. There's a place called Yava. And so you go in, and then you switch clothes with Radharani. And she should leave carrying a calf, so she, it blots the upper portion of her body, her breast, so that you can't tell it's a woman. And she should have some sort of hat on it, so you can't, to cover her hair, like a turban. Yeah, turban, so she covers her head. So she leaves, and she leaves as Subal, and then she's able to be with Krishna. So many tricky things Krishna does in Vrindavan, so many sweet, tricky things to enjoy. Everything Krishna does. Some people ask about the psychology of God. Why does Krishna do this? Well, the reason he does everything, to enjoy. Why does he play a flute? To enjoy. Everything. He's the supreme enjoyer, Rasa Raj. And devotees are meant to give him enjoyment. That's our business too. So the final thing I wanted to talk about was how can we please Radharani and serve Krishna in that mood? So we have to see what is the most pleasing thing to Krishna and to Radharani. And the most pleasing thing to Krishna, the thing that Krishna wants the most, is you. All of us. He wants his parts and parcels back with him. That we are Krishna's Mami Vamsa Jivaloke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manashastani Indriyani Prabhatishtani Karshati. We are Krishna's parts and parcels. And we have left our relationship with Krishna, and Krishna's hankering to get us back. There's this interesting story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where there's one devotee, his name is Gopa Kumar. He finally comes back to Krishna. Actually, before he comes back to Krishna, Krishna personally appears as his spiritual master. Actually, the spiritual master is the mercy incarnation of Krishna, a manifestation of Balaram. So Krishna personally comes as a spiritual master, brings him back to Godhead, eventually gets back to Godhead, to make a long story short. And when Krishna sees this devotee coming back to the spiritual world to be with him, Krishna embraces him, falls on the ground, and Krishna faints. He's so happy. I mean, that's how much Krishna loves us. That Krishna wants us back with us so much. He's sending people to this world, like his divine grace Srila Prabhupada, for our sake. Prabhupada was with Krishna. And then in this particular story, we see Radharani take the same devotee who was greeted by Krishna, who Krishna fainted to welcome back to the spiritual world. Radharani sends him back to the material world to preach. So the way we can achieve the favor of Radharani, the way we can achieve the favor of Krishna, is by giving others Krishna consciousness. You know, we chant, we follow certain principles and practices. But Krishna in the Gita says, no one is more dear to me than he who teaches this knowledge to the devotee, to everyone. And no one will ever be more dear to me than he who teaches this knowledge to others. So, and that dearness is a manifestation of Srimati Radharani's mercy. And when Lord Krishna takes on the mood of Srimati Radharani as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He becomes so merciful that he gives out Krishna consciousness freely. Ordinarily, Krishna is very demanding. In the Gita, he says, Sarva Dharma Pritcha Mamikam Shadanam Braja, surrender. But when he becomes in the mood of Radharani, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya, then he becomes so compassionate, so sentimental that he accepts anyone and everyone. So that is the mood of Radharani. She's our mother. She's compassionate. She wants us back with Krishna. She wants to satisfy Krishna. So if we actually want to understand Srimati Radharani, we have to imbibe that same mood of being compassionate with others and helping others. Okay? Thank you very much. So any questions does anyone have about Srimati Radharani, her relationship with Krishna, our relationship with her, or the method of pleasing Krishna and Srimati Radharani? Anyone have any questions? Yes? Loud so when people got here.
Who Radharani is in simple way rather than offending her is Radharani is actually feminine nature of Krishna.
Yes.
Because Krishna, Bhagavan has to be complete, so he's got female feature also in him.
Yes.
So Radharani is just expansion. So it's not like any girlfriend, boyfriend.
No.
Krishna is only enjoying.
Obviously, she's a Shakti. She's the original Shakti of Krishna. And it's not like material bodies. Like we have material bodies, but it's all Satchitananda Vigraha relationships, loving relationships. Yes, very important point. But it's important for us to get the mercy of Radharani. In Vrindavan, everyone is chanting Radhe, Radhe, Radhe Sham, right? Any of you been to Vrindavan? So even better than that is to do Radharani's service and to serve and bring people back to Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And then we can enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. The goal of the Krishna consciousness movement is to enter into those pastimes fully. Chaktva deham punajanma naiti mam eti sojana. To go back to the spiritual world and to be with Radha and Krishna forever. Wouldn't that be fun? Never get old, that's another fun thing. Always be 16 years old. Age. Pretty good. I mean, for those of us who are older, that's really attractive. And you're serving Krishna all the time, and you're having fun, and you're playing all the time. And you never have to work. So, anyone want to sign up? So any questions or, no other questions or comments? Yes.
Maharaj, we hear a lot of pastimes about Krishna's appearance, but we don't hear a lot of pastimes about Radharani's appearance.
That's interesting. Well, there are certain pastimes told in the Lalita Madhava by Vishnu Rupa Goswami about Radharani's appearance. There's several different versions of this. One version is that Vishvabhanu, the father of Srimati Radharani, and her mother is Kirtida. She's called Kirtida Sundari. That's the name of Srimati Radharani. Vishvabhanu was bathing in the Yamuna one day, and he saw a 1,000-petaled lotus, and on that lotus was Srimati Radharani. Nice story, isn't it? So that's one of the stories. I'm not going to tell the other story, but that's my favorite story. And Srimati Radharani, because she loves Krishna so much, before she came to the material world, she told Krishna, I'm not going there unless I can only see you. So she was born blind. And that's not considered auspicious when someone is born blind, right? So her parents, Kirtan and her father, Vishvabhanu, were very worried. But Narada Muni told them, you should have the name-giving ceremony and invite Krishna, and of course Krishna's mother and father, Nanda and Yashoda Mai, invite them. And so Krishna came, and Krishna was just a little baby at that time too, and he crawled up to Srimati Radharani, and she smelled his fragrance, and at that time she opened her eyes. Because she said, I do not want to see any of those rascals of this world. I only want to see you. So that's where that saying came from, that I only have eyes for you. It's a romantic saying. These are very romantic things. Krishna consciousness is a very romantic, but spiritually romantic. And the interesting thing is, if you understand these romantic things, you won't be attracted to Bollywood movies anymore. Because this is the ultimate romance between Radha and Krishna. The ultimate, and you hear these pastimes, you'll be so attracted that you'll forget about this world. Raso Varjam Raso Pirsa Paranjusradi Vartate, the Bhagavad Gita says. By having a higher taste, one loses a taste for the things of this world. And that's how you become renounced. Many people are frightened by the concept of renunciation. But if you become attracted to something more pleasurable, more attractive, then automatically things are not so attractive in this world, not so attractive to you anymore, and you become happy. Because things in this world, they come and go. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala. The things that we have in this world are like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. This is who the poet Govindadas talks about this. And water on a lotus leaf, once the lotus leaf turns over, the water goes out. So the same way, you have this this youth, this whatever we have is taken away by the time factor. As Krishna says in the Gita, kalo asme mrityu sarva harashchaya chaham. I am time. I'm taking everything away, just like Arjuna saw the universal form, 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And he asked Krishna, what's that? He saw everybody being swallowed by the universal form. Actually, the universal form of Krishna is not a vegetarian form. It's like a cannibal form. Those of you from Fiji will understand that. Anyway, so, because everyone was rushing into the mouths of the universal form, right? And that means, because this time factor, this time factor just like absorbs everybody. Digests everybody. And so when one takes shelter in the internal potency, Daiviyeshu Gurmayi Mama Maya Dharachya, Mama Eviye Purpajante, Mayamitam Tarantite, then you become free from the dualities of this world. It's very easy. We're not concerned about renunciation. We're concerned about being attracted to these wonderful pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. That will take care of everything. And the service of Krishna in this world. The Gita also states, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Ramadno Brahmanam Tam Brahmatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhi. That if one is absorbed in serving Krishna in this world, that is samadhi. That is absorption, transcendental trance. Any other questions? Yes.
About that Lord Krishna played a flute and the gopis and Radharani went to see him.
Yes.
Did they know that Krishna was Bhagavan or just a smart little boy?
They were just so attracted. They didn't care whether Krishna was God or not. In fact, there's an interesting story that once upon a time the gopis and Radharani, they were looking for Krishna. And Krishna thought, let me trick them by appearing as Narayan. You know, forearms. So, they go and they're looking, and finally Narayan, Krishna's there, and they offer obeisances. Oh, please accept our humble obeisances, Narayan, all glories to Prabhupada. Of course they didn't say that. He said, please accept our humble obeisances, Narayan. And they said, basically God, tell us where Krishna is. You know, they're ignoring God. You know, they pay a basis, they follow the etiquette. But basically, they're just asking God to take them to Krishna. And so Krishna doesn't admit that he's there, he's just making believe he's right. But then Radharani comes, and because she loves Krishna so much, Krishna cannot keep the extra two arms in front of him. They keep disappearing. There's actually a temple to that particular pastime, so the Chaturbhuj temple. That's right at Govardhan. Has anyone ever been there here? I have. Many times. Beautiful temple, beautiful forearm deity. And that deity was installed over 5,000 years ago, by Krishna's great-grandson, Rajanaba. Rajanaba was the son of Aniruddha, who was the son of Prajuna. I think you all know these personalities. You have Prajuna, of course, was the son of Krishna and Rukmini. And so when Krishna left this world, Rajanaba went to Vrindavan, and he established all the deities, the original deities there, like Madan Mohan, Govindaji, many other deities. There's the Srimadev deities he installed. So he installed this Sadbhuj deity. And that's Chaturbhuj, sorry. Not Sadbhuj. Chaturbhuj deity. And this deity is right there in a very nice kund. There's many wonderful things in Vrindavan that you can come and see. You're all invited to join me sometime. Not everyone at the same time. But we have a place in Govardhan, so you're all invited to come. So we take a lot of devotees on pilgrimage around these different places. So anyway, so that was Krishna's great-grandson. And that was the deity of Chaturbhuj. And that's the story, Chaturbhuj. So no, they didn't know Krishna was God. Because if you think someone's God, you're going to just be on and reverent with them. I mean, how can you get angry with God? Like if God comes here, I mean, let's say Krishna comes, steps off the altar, and he comes in here, I'm not going to start complaining to him. I'm going to bow down. But if Krishna appears as an ordinary attractive boy, then, you know, I'll go play with him. Or dance or whatever a wrestler happens to be. So, no, they did not know that Krishna was God. In fact, there's another interesting story where Krishna said to the gopis, and some of you have heard this story, that he said, many years ago I was Ram, and I built the bridge across the ocean to Lanka. And they said, what is this stupid thing? You're thinking you're Ram? You're proud. And they said, let me show you. I will build the bridge. And eventually, he said, I can make the stones flow. And he said, well, that's not enough. You gotta have monkeys build the bridge. So Krishna called for all the monkeys in Vrindavan, and they came and they built the bridge across the Yamuna. It's a famous story. And then they walked. And then the gopis still didn't believe he was God. They said, oh, just a magic trick, you know, it's useless. So there's no believing that Krishna's God in the residence of Vrindavan. That's called Yoga Maya. Even Krishna forgets that he's God. Because he wants to enjoy. He enjoys his pastime. Saving the residents of Vrindavan from different demons. Sometimes he forgets. Like when the coward boy is marched into the mouth of the agasa or a serpent. Krishna was just thinking, what am I going to do? Oh my God. And he is God. Imagine God saying, you know, oh my God. And so he marched into the mouth, and then, you know, he remembered he was God. And he marched into the mouth of the Agasura demon, expanded himself, and split the demon up, and saved the coward voice. So, it's like that. The Vrindavan pastimes are very sweet. This Madhurya, it's called Madhurya Dham. Very, very sweet, juicy pastimes. And these are the most attractive pastimes of the Lord. Of course, we love all the pastimes of the Lord. I regularly hear about the pastimes of Ram, the pastimes of Nrisimhadev, the pastimes of Kurma, Matsya, Varaha. I mean, they're all wonderful pastimes. But the pastimes of Krishna have this essential sweetness that you can't find anywhere else. Okay? Pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, I think we should end now. Thank you all for listening to this little katha about Krishna and Radharani. And I believe there'll be prasadam now. What? Oh, you have some cookies. Okay. Cookies for who?
For you.
I know, not for me to eat.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
So, they're enough for everybody? Okay, there'll be... So, thank all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, I have cookies.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, again, for the wonderful lecture. Past times of Srimati Radharani. So, Dr. Prabhupada requested before you go, there's some books outside on the table, so please take as many copies as you like, as many books. It's very wonderful. And the bathrooms are further on the left hand side, if you need to go. And prasadam will be served shortly. And before you go out for prasadam, please come and take some